Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the first ever sailing.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s activities.
There'll be over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Amy, guess what? Today,
what?
We have a very special guest in the house.
I know, I can't wait.
We are doing a 902-1ON1 with Tracy Middendorf. You guys, you know her. She played Laura Kingman in season 4. She was good, then bad, then good, then bad. So confusing. I'm really excited to talk to her.
Her character wigs me out, but her performance
so
is
good.
Incredible.
I know. Okay, so let's do this. Let's talk to her.
Hi.
You guys, this is like a reunion because I haven't seen you in 30 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's been that long. Oh, my God.
I know.
It's so good to see you. A, you look exactly the same.
No,
it's crazy. It's wild.
You're very sweet. I dream of you.
I'm really excited to talk to you because we've been in the thick of all things Laura Kingman on the pod in season 4. And we loved you, then we hated you, and all the things in between. And so you're just such a good actress. Let's just say that right out of the gate.
Well, no, you're sweet. Thank you. I hesitated about doing this simply because it's been 30 years. And going back and looking at my work from 30 years ago is just horrifying. I mean, I don't know how you're doing it. You were great on the show, but you know, we grow and we don't always like to look back and see.
We do grow. You and I think we're the same age.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I, at this point, have developed that, like, I don't give a F, you know, like, I'm just so, when I watch a show back, I'm so tickled and like, stoked that that's me. And I appreciate it in such a different way now than I ever could before, because I do share that like hate to watch myself thing.
Yeah.
With you.
Also, and honestly, I'm doing this because I just have so much respect for you and for Tori. You are both like badass women, moms, you know, working moms. I just think that's incredible. And you were just so sweet to me on the show. Aww. And you didn't need to be. It was my first show. I was right out of college. I did the soap for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And then I got...
You did a lot of the soap.
Just a year.
1 year, but how many episodes is that? Is that a lot?
No, I was full on in that. I mean, because I replaced a character. So they had me working.
Was that Days of Our Lives? Was that Days of Our Lives?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it was, they moved me out from New York. I was all of a sudden three cameras, you know, what am I doing? And so,
That was really good training ground though.
It was. And mm-hmm. I was glad to get off it. I mean, 1 year's enough. And then I was on this show that was, I think it was the height of its popularity too. It was
right.
Really big. Yeah. And yeah,
you came in right after the summer, right when we went to college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you guys were just so sweet to me. And I really appreciated that. I never forgot it. So
yeah, I have the fondest. I thank you. First of all, I have the fondest memories of working with you too. And just, I remember just watching your work and just being inspired by it and learning from just honestly, I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. Like, I think you're a really good actress.
Thank you.
Okay. Enough with that. But anyways, Amy, I was telling you, I saw Tracy on my TV 2 nights ago.
And yeah, was that?
It was you. I just started to watch for the first time the Dead People show. With the dead guy, he makes the dead people look good. What's it called? With the funerals.
Oh,
you
60
were in
under.
It. Yes, 60 and under.
Oh yeah. My gosh, 60
You were really
under.
Good in that too.
Thank you. Yeah, that was one of my favorite gigs. I have a track record of opening really successful series. I'm not on them all the time. I'm just on the first episode. And I sat next to Alan Ball, who was the creator of that mm-hmm. show, who also did American Beauty. He's an incredible writer, director. And I went to like an orphan's Easter dinner at a friend's house in LA, and he's from Georgia and I'm from Georgia. We sat next to each other and he was on the Sybil Shepherd show at the time. And then he started running 6 Feet Under and brought me in for that. And I so wanted the part. Oh, wow. And it took a week to hear back. And then, you know, it was a dream job. The writing was so good and it's a great show. I wish I had done more of them.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Can you remember how you got the part on 90210?
So I was trying to think about that because I didn't know what I was going to talk about because it's been so long.
Don't you worry. I've got many questions.
You've got stuff. So something I do vividly remember, and I'm pretty sure it was 90210's audition, was a room full of people. And Aaron Spelling was there and just a ton of producers and directors. And that's when... Back then, that's when you used to go in for everybody. You didn't go on tape. You went into a room with a bunch of people.
Staring at you.
So I think that it was for 90210. It might have been Melrose Place, but I think it was 90210. And I tell actors that all the time, young actors. When I did a series for MTV Scream, and I was the oldest one on the show. Everyone else were the 20-something kids. And I would tell them that's the one I would bring up, is that as actors, we used to go in and we used to read with casting directors, with our assistants. We used to meet the director. We used to meet the producers, the showrunners, and audition for them. And we don't do that anymore. We go on tape, or it's maybe a casting director. And then we never hear anything.
Never hear a word.
Oh, you don't hear if you
like
don't
it never happened.
Yeah. Like it never happened. It's just out there. And so your job,
the worst feeling, right?
That. Your job is just the audition, basically, until you get the job.
I see why they had a room full of people there, including Aaron, because this part is so important. If the person didn't do it right, it would literally have ruined what is such a major arc in this season. It was so crucial that they get it right. And I think they did. I mean, I'll tell you stories as we talk, but you nailed it.
Well, I have to tell you, I didn't know it was going to be, because I was only booked for those first three episodes. And I felt, okay, I've experienced college. I know what that environment's like. I can do this. What was terrifying was when they brought me back and handed me the script.
The most unhinged gal around.
Not only that, so I do a lot of theater, and I love Tennessee Williams. And being given this monologue from one of the most beautiful plays ever written for the American theater was terrifying. And I had like 4 or 5 days to do it. And so when I look at those scenes, which I just did for the first time in 30 years. All I saw was this young, scared actress trying to do justice to this beautiful play. And I think I tried a little too hard.
I love your earnest. No, you didn't. First of all,
I should have pulled back just a little bit.
No, but, you should never ever pull back. That's my theory,
right? Because
it was a little big.
But you weren't doing. You weren't Tracy doing Tennessee Williams. You were Tracy being Laura. Laura doing Tennessee Williams, and that was the same thing we talked about with Jenny, because Jenny was Kelly, and then Kelly doing it. It's like that's acting.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you this, Jenny. Do you feel like, I'm going to make the choice that my character is a bad actress? It's very hard to make that choice. You make the choice that your character is a bad actress.
Did you ask yourself that before you did the scene?
Oh, hell yeah. I was going to
Did you prepare as a bad actress or a good actress?
No, because then they would just think Tracy's a bad actress.
You made an ask. Everybody, I just want you all to know that I've made a choice.
I made a choice that she's going to be bad.
You
well,
are
I think
bad.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that now.
You should. I think I'll use it too. Really dots all the I's.
I actually thought you were quite lovely when I was watching it, and I watched your audition with him. Although he was creepy. I mean, honestly,
it was painful. I can feel your pain because you just reminded me. I did it too. I did that audition and for her.
Honestly,
Maggie the cat.
Oh, if they tried to do that episode today, first of all, he would be arrested.
Oh, yeah.
For having a young actress come and, you know, even letting her into his house to privately audition.
He was so creepy.
He was so creepy. But I thought you were quite lovely. And I thought, honestly, that if I was to cast it, I didn't necessarily think that Shannon would have been the actress, but she was the type. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. She's just, you know, sexy and kind of grounded. And that's Maggie the cat to me.
Totally.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin, and their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important, don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la.
Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. With the weather getting warmer, finally, it is time for a wardrobe refresh.
And when I want to update my style without breaking the bank, I turn to Quince.
They offer premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30.
And washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
I use the hoop earrings I ordered from Quince all the time.
And basically live in the slippers that I ordered on their website. The prices and quality are so worth it.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/90210 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/90210 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/90210.
These were all y'all's best episodes, because Shannon is amazing in these episodes too, because right. You know, I know Tori's so disappointed to not be here, so you got stuck with me, but I watched it as a fan. So we weren't like judging your work in Tennessee Williams, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. We're like, oh my God, Laura has lost it.
Oh my God, when you're up on the scaffolding? Everybody, you guys, I don't know if you watched it. I'm sure they did if they're listening now, but you got to watch it. It's so good. It's so good. And then it's so confusing too. And you must have felt this way when you read the script, that in the beginning, for the first three episodes, you were accusing Steve Sanders. And then you came back and you're hooking up with him and he's your biggest supporter.
Yeah. And why he trusts me. That's a flaw on his part. That wasn't mine. That's not on me.
I'm sure not on him either, because it wasn't very consistent.
Yeah, they made a leap there. Yeah, they made a leap.
They really needed you. They needed you for all this. Like, it was like a big arc in the season. What catapults Brenda off into wanting to become an actress and then going off to London.
Right. Oh, is that what happened?
You didn't watch after your episode.
What I can say, and that's why I was so excited to talk to you today, because I was probably 19 at the time when I was watching this, because we're all about the same age. So we were in college watching this, like you said, at the height. And what I found so interesting is I saw you obviously go on to do other things. And every time I would see you on screen, I would get like,
because it was so ingrained in me, that character. And I think it was the first time we sort of saw someone, we saw it a little bit with Christina Lise, but somebody that was like a bit unhinged. And it was sort of like my first experience with that. And that's why I thought, I mean, now maybe look back with different eyes, but then I was just like sucked in, like, this is what happens if a girl kind of goes off the edge or gets too obsessed with something. And I just, it took me a while. That's why I'm
scary.
So happy. I'm so happy to see you today because you really are nothing like Laura. You look, but it was like, that stuck with me. And that means
I also feel it. Most of the things, I've died a lot in a lot of different things too. So that's traumatic.
It really kind of does leave an imprint on not just the viewer, but also the actor.
I'd forgotten a lot of that last scene. So it was interesting to watch it again. I mean, I don't know how you're doing it. Are you not watching the next episode? Are you trying to refresh yourself as you go along? Is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just watching it episode by episode. So we're at the end of season four.
So many of them. That must be.
I know. They ain't tell Amy about it.
It's taking
a
while.
She didn't realize when she took the show on that there were 10 seasons.
Well, and there's like 30 episodes. Or 32 or something.
They don't do that anymore. I mean,
this will be the longest running podcast ever in the world.
Yeah, it's wonderful though. But I can imagine you do forget a lot of them because
I forgot all of them. Yes.
Well, that's what's so funny too, because I watched it, you know, I was the fan. We were all in sorority watching it. And then I've kind of dabbled in it, watching it again. But your character is unforgettable. And I wonder how long did people recognize you from 90210 after you did it? I mean, that must have been crazy.
I just got it last, like 3 weeks ago. Someone in the airport.
God, what happened?
I said, are you serious? He said,
What'd they say?
You said, you're from 90210. I said, are you kidding me? I said, when did you watch that? Because he was younger than us. And he said, oh no, that I think they're rewatching it. He and his girlfriend are rewatching all of it. Yeah. And he recognized me from that. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I got it a lot right after the show aired, and I got it a lot from, I don't know if you had this, but from like basketball players who were in the locker room or, you know, like weird, like crazy, you know.
I thought you were going to say prisoners.
No, I had that. That was more the soap. That was a lot. I got a lot.
Oh, yeah. Days of Our Lives would be a major one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Basketball players. Okay. Yeah.
So did you play her the same in each arc? Because the first version of Laura, you know, it's almost like she just got worse by the second. So did you have to come in and play her a bit more over the top for the second set of episodes? She almost sort of redeemed herself in the first set. And I was like, oh, I'm cool with her.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah. And we don't really know what Steve did. Like, we kind of talked about this when your first set of episodes aired, because it was so fascinating. They showed your perspective and his, and we assumed the truth was somewhere sort of in the middle. But then she comes back and she's very, you know, really heightened.
Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I struggled with, it was hard. Those first three episodes were hard because you're having to I had to believe that it was true. And in my version, it was true. But I also struggled as a woman that so many women in the 90s in college, probably 90% of them don't report being raped, you know, at that time. And that the show is choosing to focus on the male being the victim. I really struggled with that a bit, just as a woman. So as an actress, I went in with, I didn't fully say yes. I'm confused and vulnerable. And then so when that progressed, I chose that her being lost and alone in college, that just made it worse. And so when she shows up again and later in the season, she has been alone a lot. She doesn't have a lot of friends. And I think Ian's character was somebody that she could convince.
So you think she came back for your fourth episode, let's say Laura part two, that were you up to something when you came back, like straight out of the gate?
No, not, I think, I mean, because he finds me in the episode. Mm-hmm. He comes into my room in the beginning of the second time I came back. So I think it was legitimately trying to do this play to somehow find some footing, to find mm-hmm. some place. Mm-hmm. Some,
yeah, know. But so weird, you're right, that she would even allow him to get close to her again if that had been...
And vice versa. But I think they each feel some guilt. Like, I might be going way to like the psychology of these characters, but like Laura has some guilt over what she, maybe she misinterpreted what was happening or had mm-hmm. her perspective. And then it became this whole to do. And mm-hmm. he has guilt because he does admit he shouldn't have done what he did, even though it wasn't necessarily quote rape or criminal. It was, he knew he had Celeste and there was the whole thing. So he's got guilt, which is why I think it was a perfect storm. You two connected because of this past. And then it just spirals. And he almost causes the spiral. Not exactly, but he doesn't, you know, bring you down and say, wait a minute. Or did you call Brenda and do this about the rehearsal? It's like he's so in with you, probably from the guilt, that it mm-hmm. exasperates this messiness.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It got really messy. I think obviously the character's unhinged. Otherwise, to go there so quickly right. over not getting the part, or, you know, I think already confused and lost and struggling in college and alone. And then, okay, this is going to solve everything. I'm going to do this play. I'm going to get this part. I'm going to work my ass off on it. And I'm going to, you know, nail it, and should have gotten it. And then, and legitimately feeling like, wait, what happened? How did she all of a sudden get the part when she bombed the audition? And
right.
So that's legitimate confusion. And then he was, you know, guilty of seducing his leading ladies, and mm-hmm. then to find out that she went to his house. So it all those pieces to defend her, that character, mm-hmm. she, all those, you know, and she wasn't the only one saying it. So,
right.
You know, so, you know, yes, she made it worse and then totally went off the deep end.
Right.
Who directed, do you remember who, was that James Eckhaus that directed? Do you have any recollection?
He did do one of them.
Maybe that last one. I don't remember.
I don't know. I just was wondering, because especially with the last couple episodes, you had so much like work to really prepare stuff and bring it in. And sometimes on an episodic show like this, it gets a little like, you know, the director doesn't really step up and help or support the way they could with an actress, especially when they have stuff this heavy. I was just wondering if you remember any like people that supported you or helped you or like, you know, made it.
I don't for those episodes. Mm-hmm. I do remember a director, and I can't remember his name, on the earlier episodes being very kind and thoughtful and trying to help mm-hmm. me through a moment.
That's good.
This one, I think I was just, you know, so focused on trying to, as an actor, trying to nail that arc and mm-hmm. try to make sense of it. And I, you must know this so well. When you're on a series, you almost have to be director proof, because you take from the good, and hopefully you get really good ones, but there's bad ones out there that tell you to do things that just aren't right for your character, especially if in episodic, they're coming in for each show. You're on the show every episode. So right. you understand your character, you understand. And sometimes it's a good thing, and you do know your character. I've definitely worked on series where the ego is really big and they just won't do anything the director says.
Whoa.
They just focus on the guest star because that regular will not do anything. And that's got to be frustrating for a director.
Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s cruise.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interaction, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more.
Hosted by MTV VJs Downtown Julie Brown and Matt Pinfield, plus Lisa Loeb.
Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas will be completely transformed to take you back in time for nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Jean, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now. It is a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Jean. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Jean! Run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return. Your time won't. And we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star starting May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and this character is so complicated. This isn't like Sorority Girl one, you know, number two. Like, if you didn't do it right and have that support you needed, it could have derailed multiple episodes. That's why I think there was so much pressure on this character, because you became the forefront of this episode. And again, it could have been clowny if you didn't do it right, or like too soapy. Or,
I mean, thank God we got you to play this role, because you're right, Amy. It could have been disaster.
You're very sweet.
I've seen your work after the show. Like, I know your work, and you're always consistently like just good, you know. And like, I don't want to say dependable, but you know that you're gonna give the character its due. What's the saying? It's due. Oats? No, we were having this argument. Sorry.
So my oats.
I don't know. You were doing the character right.
But what's blowing my mind, and I hope this makes sense, because looking at you right now, first of all, you do look the same. So beautiful. You did something with your face, like your eyes and the like playing that character, because I thought you were going to look like that today, and you don't look anything like that. So you were doing that, and it was like
wild eyes,
crazy in the eyes, and that's crazy, not your eyes. You guys, like, that's what's going on. I thought
did you wear fake eyes? I had fake eyes.
But how did you
special contact lenses?
It was not just in the things that you were saying; it was in the body language.
It was in her brain,
was in the face and the movement, and even like the creepy masks on the door of the room, and like the lingerie, every single part of that character, I think, was so good in these episodes. And that's why, like, it was burned into me. I was like, I will never forget that character.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think I was trying to, I remember at the time I was really into Cassavetes, and I think I was trying to channel Jennifer from A Woman Under the Influence. I think there's probably the young actress in me was trying to figure out how do you tap into something where you go, so, you know, that's to get to that point, it's got to be, you know, is hard. I've had, you know, and I've had people in my life who have gone there, and so it's and a lot of people are like, it's such a selfish act, you know, to do something like that. But that's how lost you are when you going to that extreme. You're so lost. It was, you know, I think I was probably trying to channel anything I could find as such a young actress. I mean, I look back on that and we were so young and we're trying to do these really hard.
Well, yeah, you had to make that nutty gal likable too, or we all would have been like, get rid of this cuckoo chick. We had to feel compassion, which I did the entire, both Laura Part 1 and Laura Part 2. Like, even though what you sort of did, although we debated this back and forth a lot, because it's never clear what really happened in Laura Part 1, but you were still likable, and we had this almost like, oh no, like, oh, bless her heart, kind of a, like, oh no.
And which you have to come back. It's hard. It's a hard thing because you're watching these characters on this show and you fall in love with these characters. And so any character that comes on that disparages them, mm-hmm. or you're not going to be liked. And so it's a hard balance to play what they've written for you and to play that character, but also not be completely hated by anybody watching the show, because then nobody cares. And so what? So she.
Well, and your character is so important to bring Steve to the forefront, because look, Steve can be sort of a secondary character, but in both Laura Part 1 and Laura Part 2, and it really brought Jenny to the forefront because she comes to defend Steve. And that was so important for our like core characters. And then in this one, it really caused the friction between Steve and Brenda for the most we've ever seen. I mean, we were almost like, oh, kind of laughing.
Right.
Wow, they're going, rawr.
What do you say? I'm your brother's friend, not yours. Something like that.
he's kind of a, you know, a D word in this. Yeah. But we had to not hate you. We never hated you. We were just like, oh, God. This is going so wrong.
Right. Yeah. You
did a good job.
Thank you. It's funny. I ended up doing, I think probably 5 or 6 years later, ended up doing Alma in Tennessee Williams' Summer and Smoke.
No. I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Where did you do that?
At the Fountain Theater. And we had almost a year run, and the Ovation Awards are the theater awards in LA. And I was up against Linda Lavin and Ruby Dee and Annette Bening.
Wow. Look at you.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
goodness. And then after that, 2 years after that, I played a character called Maggie in After the Fall, an Arthur Miller play.
No way.
It was all like predetermined.
Yeah, right. It is. Right.
So foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
You've just, like you said, you've had such a well-rounded career, and your resume is so full of all kinds of different genres. You've done sci-fi and horror, and you've done it all. You've done live theater.
I have one of the most iconic horror deaths in a film.
Tori were here, she would be so excited right now because she loves horror films. I'm not really a horror.
Wait, which one?
I'm not either, which is so funny because I've done the series. I've done, you know, my very first film after 90210 was Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Wes Craven did Nightmare on Elm Street. And mm-hmm. then he, you know, there were other directors who did the other ones. And then he came back and did the one I did. And it was my first movie.
Wow. And
I have this incredible death scene where Freddy Krueger is dragging me up the wall. And he disappears and then he appears. He disappears and dragging me up the wall. And I'm screaming and I'm reaching my hand out to the little boy. And then he just kills me.
God.
And it was all done in a studio that completely turns
so you could go up the walls
so that I could go up the wall.
Yeah. That is crazy town.
It's crazy town. Yeah, that was my first movie.
So fun though.
So that's what a lot of people know. A lot of you know, there's certain, if you've been on that, then you end up going on to some other things like Angel and you know, obviously the last one was MTV's Scream. This series.
Yeah, that was a good show, actually. It was a really good show.
Yeah, it was a fun show to work on.
Yeah, you're living in New Orleans.
I live in New Orleans, and that's kind of why I live here. The first season was shot in Baton Rouge, and the second season they were going to film in New Orleans. And we were going to, you know, my husband and I were like, well, let's buy an investment property. Because that's what you do when you're on a series, right? So
smart girl.
Right. So we were looking in California, and we were living in Central California at the time and couldn't find anything. And then we looked in New Orleans and we just found the house I'm in now, this really great, you know, 100-year-old house. And it was amazing. It's just ugly, just painted, you know, yellow and purple. And so while I was filming the series, you know, again, I was the mom of the main character. My character had all this history. And so I was integral in it, but I didn't have to work that much.
Nice. The best kind of role.
It was great. So I was getting paid, worked maybe 1 or 2 days a week. And then the rest of the time I spent renovating the house.
Is that the house I saw on your Instagram? Is it white? Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah. yeah. And so we're now, I'm actually doing, we have a commercial property that's from the 1840s that we're renovating.
Oh, that's yeah. so and, fun.
Yeah. It's an old pharmacy and an old brick carriage house. And we're turning it into a restaurant, bar, and a deli.
Amazing. Oh look at you. You're just, our Laura Kingman.
Well, you do what you got to do, don't you?
Really sprouted her wings.
I will say, I am so grateful for you doing this because of all the 10 seasons, there's only a handful of guest stars that really are just unforgettable. And you are one of them. And like Laura Kingman will never be forgotten. It's just such a, it must have just been so juicy to like play that character. She's so complicated.
Yeah, it was. In fact, I mean, as you get older, I mean, you probably feel this way, Jenny, but as you get older, you go, oh, I think I understand that a little bit better now. Mm-hmm. And you look back on some of these parts and go, oh, the hard thing being an actor is that it's out there for everyone to see. And so your growth is out there for everyone to see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which can, you know, can be tough. You just have to, you know, accept that's part of the gig and try to grow with each job. So yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see what's next for you. I mean, you're going to keep yourself busy with these renovations, which is so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I have these renovations. I also have a project that I worked on, which you maybe would want to contribute to. It's called Shudder to Think. And
I saw that also on your Instagram, and I saw someone's feet and I was very confused. Are they your feet? Or are they Annie Lennox's feet?
They're Annie Lennox's feet.
Okay, cool.
So I created, girls' education, if you can educate women around the world, girls around the world, we can pretty much change the world because girls get educated, they work, the money comes home, they don't leave their villages, they stay. And the majority of girls are not educated, the boys are educated. And so I was involved with a friend who started Girl Rising, and I started this project called Shudder to Think. And it's any celebrity who's taken a photo, they can donate the photo.
Amazing. Let's do that.
I was just at the Gorge to see Brandi Carlile and Joni Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Joni Mitchell fan. Was so lucky to meet Joni Mitchell and talk to her. And then I ran into Annie Lennox, and I was able to thank Annie Lennox for her.
Her feet.
Yes.
I definitely wanted it.
Easy, because it's, you just send a photo. I used to have
it. Yeah, it's genius. First of all, that's a genius, because that's an easy ask of people. And also, I love that title, Shudder to Think. Yeah. If you like break it down, get it? Shudder.
Shudder.
To help the girls think. I like it.
And I've had some good responses. Meryl Streep donated, and Helen Mirren.
Oh my gosh.
Shemi and Moby. And just the list is amazing. And
good for you.
Growing.
Good for you. So much admiration.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's just so great to see your face again and talk to you and learn all about this. And I don't know, you're just great. You're great. That's all.
Yeah, you were phenomenal on this show, because even now, just this little time we've had, is like, you don't even look like her in that same way. Your personality is different. So it's just like, that must have been so out of left field to play her. And you just nailed it. Like I said, I will never forget Lori.
Yeah, I don't think I've played anybody that unhinged since. That was it. That's where I started.
I feel somehow good about that.
Yeah, that's good.
We are happy to be a part of it, of your unhinged performance of a lifetime.
Thank you. Thank you. If you all have any other questions, just let me know.
You're the best.
Properties in New Orleans.
I love it. That sounds like a good life. Well, be well. Love to your family. And thanks again.
Love to your family, too. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Mwah. So awesome.
Oh my God. She's so cool, because she really, like I said, like, for you all to be that young and play a character like that.
I know. She had to have a serious, like, depth of
so person. Hard, because she was so like over the top, but couldn't be over the top. Like, we had to believe that she would climb that scaffolding and was gonna, in the, you know, the whole thing. Like I said, you could have gone clowny so easily.
Oh my gosh. That was fun. Talking to our old co-stars. These are always fun episodes.
Yeah, she was really
our fun. One-on-ones. I loved it. Okay.
So the finale.
The finale.
Mr. Walsh is going to Washington. So we're getting ready for that.
Next week, y'all. Who loves Christmas? I do. Hey, everybody. It's me, Jenny Garth. My BFF Tori Spelling and I are so excited to bring our new holiday home decor pieces to QVC in honor of QVC's Christmas in July. We want to bring our holiday spirit into your home this summer by sharing our festive and stylish pieces for the holidays. So be sure to tune in to QVC this Saturday, July 15th at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sunday, July 16th at 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, explore more on our Instagram at the BFF Collection, or go to thebffcollection.com. Merry Christmas in July.
Enter to win a free cruise for two on board the 90s cruise. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the first ever sailing.
5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s activities.
There'll be over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, and more.
The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, January 31st through February 5th, 2025.
Head to the90scruise.com/iHeart to enter to win a free cruise for two.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God.
Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.